Hi, and welcome to Sentinel Watch, a production of the Christian Science Sentinel, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm David Brown. Those of us familiar with Christian Science often can tell you about the many experiences we've had relying on prayer for healing. These experiences can often be so profound, many of us turn to the teachings of Christ Jesus and the Bible immediately as our sufficient guide, and we found the power of prayer to be effective. But what about when others are doing the praying? Can we experience healing through their prayers? Our guest today is Beth Packer, practitioner from New South Wales, Australia. Beth, welcome to Sentinel Watch.
Hello, David. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you on the program. I understand you had a firsthand experience along these lines, being healed through the prayers of your children. Could you tell us about that?
Oh, absolutely, because it was probably one of the loveliest healings I think I've experienced. But not just lovely, it was something that really taught me a lot. Even to this day, my girls were only little, there's just the two of them. And we were home one day when I slipped on a wet floor. And as I was falling to sort of stop myself, I grabbed a door, but also at the same time falling heavily against that door, trapping my finger. And I was so stunned and the pain was so great that I just literally sat on the lounge unable to think for myself. And it was that time that my two little girls, just one sat either side of me, and the big one said to the little one, "Pray for mummy." And they closed their eyes and they folded their little hands in their laps and they just earnestly prayed. And what happened next, I can just still remember clearly to this day. This sense of the most tender, sweetest, heavenly love just rolled over me like a glove. And I just fell sound asleep. And in an hour when I woke up, I found that finger completely painless, almost totally closed, just a tiny little scratch, and all evidence within a tiny time completely faded. There was not even, I couldn't even tell you which finger it was. Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? But I learned, it just made me think, what did those little girls pray? You know, what were they feeling? And I just often try and get back into that headspace to learn, because it's so important. Isn't that what Jesus said? To be like a little child is the entry to the kingdom of heaven. And when I do try and I sometimes try and get into that headspace that they must have been in. But the first thing I find is it's not a headspace, it's a heart space, and it's beautiful.
What a wonderful story, and what a beautiful experience. And what I love about this story is that we have all, I think, experienced that childlike innocence of the young person's presence there, and you feel that love. It isn't something you think about, as you were saying. This is something you feel.
Yeah.
But it's beyond emotion, isn't
yeah.
it? It's something else.
It is, because when you think about it, when I try and get into that precious holy space, that heart space, there's no words. It's not a sense of, there's no academics to it. It's just this simple, innocent going to God. I mean, when my kids were little, they used to always say, "Of course God will heal me." And they were inevitably healed, you know, no matter what came up. It was quick and it was easy. Of course God will heal me. And it's that expectance and that assurance. I mean, those little girls weren't great biblical scholars, but they had gone to Sunday school. And that Sunday school, that precious, precious tuition, they learned that God was love, like the Bible tells us. and that God loved them deeply and knew them truly, and that they could depend on that love no matter what the circumstance. So even in that which humanly could seem scary when mummy is hurt and unable to look after herself, let alone them, still they had that backup, that go-to point. Of course, God is with us and can help us straight away. It's just an expectancy, isn't it? It's a trust and expectancy that we as adults sometimes lose. I often think, do we as patients go to practitioners or to our prayers hoping that prayer will heal us, that God will meet our need? Or do we go with that childlike expectancy that, of course, God, divine love, will heal us, will meet the human need? I mean, don't we all love that statement that we see in Christian Science churches on the walls? Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. And I often think, do we actually still as adults truly believe that? Do we understand the depth to it and why? And I think children get it. They don't analyze it away.
Yeah. Beth, you mentioned that statement that's found often on walls of Christian Science churches. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. And I've always held that as precious because, well, I've known it for so many years, but also because it's such a simple, powerful statement that there's not a whole lot of room for overthinking it in a way. It is an invitation to yield to that love. There may be listeners, in fact, I'm quite sure there are, listeners who have never heard that before, and where does it come from? Why is that such a precious idea among Christian Scientists? Could you say more about that?
It comes from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. That's written by the discoverer of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know. She founded the church as well. She was a woman. So having a church founded by a woman, I find, makes a such a difference, because that sense of the tenderness of the motherliness of divine love comes through so strongly. And I think that statement really reaches our hearts. But you could look at the world and say, well, I'm seeing lots of need that's not being met. But to me, that's a bit like doing our math calculations wrongly. You know, we can see the results of a wrong idea, you know, maybe discord in our lives, but the whole time the truth is with us and it is governing us, and it is the only thing that is happening no matter what we believe. It is constantly governing and is constantly available to us. And I think prayer is the one that leads us to that deep understanding of the underlying truth of life, that it is love, that God, this principle that governs the universe, is love. And you can know that because, and I often think about math because I love math, and I always think 2 and 2 equals 4, and when you apply it rightly, it brings perfect harmony. It just brings perfect harmony. Everything works out all right. We get a, you know, a check on that page, which is say we did our work rightly. Now, every truth in the universe, when applied correctly, brings harmony. And the governing principle of the universe, this foundational source and force, is love, and it is with us whether or not we know it. And I think that's the point. Just know the truth is with us, and of course it will hold our lives in harmony.
Something that you mentioned earlier, Beth, and I think just by way of clarification, we should note that the author of that book you mentioned, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, mm-hmm. Mary Baker Eddy, she was inspired by what she had read throughout her life in studying the Bible. As a child herself, she had fallen in love with the Bible, and it seems almost like a calling to her. But in a way, there's a calling to all of us, it seems, including mm-hmm. those precious two children who were praying for their mom there that day. And I know that people listening are thinking, well, sure would like to know, how did they know what to do? Did they ever tell you how they prayed? Did you ever find out?
They just simply asked God. But it was their expectation that, of course, God would answer their prayers. There was an assurance. They didn't have to rationalize it, or they didn't have to think, what do I know about this? Or do I know enough? Or if this doesn't work, there's a plan B called going to the local medical service and getting it stitched. Mm-hmm. They didn't go through that process. It was actually something like Mrs. Eddy said it once. She said, the little bird doesn't hop his way to the mountain. He flies straight and swift as an arrow. And those children just simply went to the God, the sense of divine love that they knew would help and heal the situation. They had no doubt. They had no doubt. Now, isn't that what Jesus constantly approved of? The people healed, he would say to them, your faith has made you whole. Now, it was Jesus standing in front of them. It was Jesus saying the words. Yet it was God that they gave thanks to, that divine principle that we know as love. And he said, it is your faith, your trust in that, in God, that made you whole. And I just, within my own thinking, want to get to that space. The studying and the understanding and the growing and the yearning to get there gets me to the point where I know I can trust God, that God tells me the truth, that if it's a good idea, that's a God idea. The Bible constantly tells us that good and God are synonyms. So every right idea that comes to me, I thank God. Every kind idea, every inspired idea, every principled idea, you know, when my desire is to be honest always, to be tidy, to drive sensibly, all those right motives and principles, I don't claim. I know that is God. My oneness with God, my flying straight to God rather than interpreting it as my own self, it is just God loving me. And God leading me. And it gives me this sense of closeness to God.
Enjoying this edition of Sentinel Watch? You might be interested in the wide range of content we offer on our website. It's the online home of the Christian Science magazines, the Christian Science Journal, the Christian Science Sentinel, and the Herald of Christian Science. You can search an archive of podcasts and articles spanning more than 150 years. Each one is full of helpful, healing ideas. You can find us at sentinel.christianscience.com. Now let's get back to this week's conversation.
Beth, you said this yourself, and I think that a lot of us have experienced this, especially those of us who have been longtime students of Christian Science, we may find ourselves in a discordant situation, something inharmonious in our lives, or maybe some kind of injury or something. And we want to turn to that healing approach that we have found to be so reliable so many times, but maybe the healing doesn't seem to be coming. I can't tell you how many times I have turned to the Bible and to the writings of Mary Baker Eddy to look for a kind of inspiration. And I'll admit it, I have felt that my wheels are spinning, that I'm searching around for some kind of word that will bring about that sort of inspiration that I have felt in the past.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, how do we take that wonderful lesson of your children and their expression of love for their mother? How do we take that in our own growth, and so that we can further see and rely on God for that healing? How do you approach it differently as a result of that experience?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's right at the crux of what we're talking about today. And I think, just to reiterate what I was just saying, if a right idea comes to me, if an inspiration from the Bible or from science and health or just from pure prayer comes to me, I listen to it. And I recognize it as a divine utterance, not a human striving to understand the divine. It is God, the Christ truth that Jesus represented. It's the ideal truth coming to me. The striving and the turning in that right direction is a bit like, you know, it's tuning in. And we start to have that mind that was also in Christ. As the Bible says, we're at one with the divine mind. But to think that I'm striving, I'm trying so hard and I'm not getting anywhere, it's humanizing the process. And we have to be aware of that, not to do that. The moment we think it's us being this striving, suffering mortal who's trying to get there, well, that's like that bird hopping up the mountain. Mm-hmm. It's a human process. And healing is not human. It is not about what does mortal mind or human mind think about the divine. It is, what does God know? What does God see? What is God feeling? It's that point of view, not what do I think about God or what do I think that God is doing? And also to healing, I don't recognize it. It's no different to the rest of life in lots of ways, in that if I wipe a bench in the kitchen, some crumbs come off easily. And other times I've got to get out a bit of bleach and have it go, and other times I've got to scrub at it. If I want to learn to play the piano, I can play chopsticks quickly. But to play a symphony or a sonata or something more beautiful and more complex, it takes practice, it takes effort, but every step along the way is getting me there. A bit like Abraham, when God told him to get out from his country, to get out from that human thinking and go and find a higher way of living and thinking. He didn't know where he was going. Mm-hmm. But every day he just said, okay, God, show me. And every single footstep was necessary to get him to that end place and was progress. He left, and the Bible says, not knowing where he would go. Had he stopped along the way, or had he thought about how tired he was or how many footsteps he'd taken to get there, he probably wouldn't have got there. But it just, okay, God, today, what do we need to know?
And part of it is that confidence, that leaning in to God. When you were talking there, it reminded me of something that I used to fumble with. It was a saying from Matthew, I believe it is. I'm sure you know it. It was something along the lines of, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And I used to think that in a way it was kind of like, okay, well, get isolated so it can just be you in a way. But there's something else going on there, it seems to me. It's not just isolation. It's removing yourself so that you can feel that presence. You can recognize that presence. It's not that it's not always with you. It's, in a way, you're removing those distractions and putting your entire confidence, your entire mindset into getting close to God that doesn't require a certain saying or phrase or a knowledge of the Bible or anything along those lines. You're shutting the door to the noise. You're shutting the door to the to the claim itself. God's presence is always there, no matter where you are.
Yep. Divine love is always meeting the human need. And there's something actually my Sunday school kids taught me that it's just a little analogy that we came up with that, oh, I find it so useful right along these lines that you're so beautifully enunciating. And one of them was going to a high school. They were the teenagers. And one of them had just gone to high school and there was all this stuff around it, this noise, as you said, the, you know, the personalities and the amount of people and the teachers. It was just...
The drama. Oh, yeah.
The drama. Remember the drama?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, he was just a bit overwhelmed and he just said, how do I find, like you said, my calm in amongst all this? And we thought about it. We thought, what does Jesus show us? Because Jesus really kept his calm, didn't he, and his grace. And you think about all that was going on around him, all those people clamoring to be healed, even to touch him. And then he had that political intrigue going on all around him. And then he had his own personal mission to forward and disciples to teach and all that sort of human busyness around him and noise, as you said. And we thought, how did he keep his calm in amongst all that melee of human thinking? And so we knew it was important, so we just had a quiet minute to think about it. And what came to us was to get two white blank pieces of paper. Mm-hmm. And on one, we wrote 2 + 2 = 3. And then on the same page, we wrote 2 + 2 = 5, and then 2 + 2 = 24. And then they got all excited and said, 2 + 2 = 695. And we filled that page full of thoughts and opinions about the truth. There was even 2 + 2 with no answer at all. And then on the other page, the pure white, clean page, we simply wrote one thing, 2 + 2 = 4. And all of a sudden we got it, how he kept his calm and his grace in amongst all that human noise. He just stayed away from that page full of human thinking about the truth. And he just stayed totally focused on the truth, not even what did he think about the truth, but what is truth. Nothing else was allowed in his consciousness except what is truth. And that powerful truth eliminated everything else. It didn't allow it in. But sometimes I think about that other page full of all those wrong ideas. Not one of them is true. Not one of them is real. Not one of them is right. Not one of them exists. Even then, that page is actually blank because it is filled with nothingness. All that is going on anywhere is the truth. And now sometimes, like particularly when we hear the news nowadays, when there is so much going on around us, and it would seem to come from a human, you know, I think I'm right and you think you're right, what is truth and all this sort of human thinking and opinion. I go back and I say to myself, Beth, what page are you sure thought on? Is that what God is telling you? What is the truth of God and the truth of God's expression? And then I can regain my calm and bring to consciousness a glimpse of the truth. And as we know, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make them free. And that, to me, is my contribution, my constant contribution to the world, to stay out of the human thinking and stay out, what does God know? What is God telling me? And then to believe it, to trust it, to know that, of course, God will heal them. Of course, God is with them and knows them and loves them.
Wow.
And I will accept that and believe it with my whole heart, because nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Oh, I love that. I just love what you're saying there. And I can think of so many practical ways that we can use these ideas. You've been so generous with your time, Beth, but before we let you go, I want to ask you about something that, well, we've encountered quite a lot over the course of Sentinel Watch. We've gone in depth on what is going on with healing, this approach to healing that we've been talking about. And, and something that sort of seems to be constantly coming up is that what healing really is, in a way, is it is spiritual growth. And I know you've had, I've certainly had these experiences where you experience the healing and you realize quite often in retrospect that you've actually grown spiritually and you are stronger. And I think that sometimes there's this impulse, maybe I'm wrong, but sometimes there's this impulse that some of us have, I'll speak for myself, to look for, where do I need to grow? What is it that I'm misunderstanding? Why am I not experiencing this healing now? And to me, that seems, in terms of motive, it seems, feels right. I'm trying to grow. I want to grow spiritually.
Yeah.
What do you say to someone who might be listening now who's struggling with that idea and they're thinking, I know that there's something I'm missing. I need to grow spiritually. What do you say to that person?
I think it is to every step of the way to recognize that healing is happening. That every single time God shows us a truth and we accept it, that we grow. That false belief is lessened not only in our world, but in the whole world. I often think of the immense good that when we have to be tenacious in healing, the immense good that is going on for the world. We are defeating disbelieving belief and fear and lie time and time again. When we have the quick healings, we say, thank you, God, and move on. But these ones where we are like Abraham, every step of the way is progress. Healing is not a physical change. Healing is a mental change. That's it. That is what we experience. We are experiencing a lessening of belief and a growing understanding. It's like climbing up that mountain. You are seeing further and further and further. Every scientific breakthrough has had steps to it. Every single time we destroy a belief in thought, we get rid of a fear, we drop the human baggage, and we feel more and recognize more of our union with divine mind, a unity, then healing is happening. And you just imagine the immense healing that is happening when we are having to be tenacious. Every person in the Bible had to go through trials. The boys, the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, they went through that. They went through it, but the Christ, the truth was with them, kept them safe and wouldn't even allow that conflagration of human thought and power and thinking to even touch them. Now, had they healed that first, we wouldn't have had that example. Had Abraham teleported himself, we wouldn't have had his example.
Right.
We are being examples to the world. Every prayer heals an error, not only in our own lives, but in the world. And it is the constant recognition of healing every step of the way that gets us to the point that we are more sure of God than anything else. And I had an experience recently. We've got time?
Yes, please.
Just a quick one.
Yes.
I live on top of a mountain. It's very steep, right on the peak, very beautiful, but very steep. And one day after a bit of fresh rain, I was walking across the front lawn, which is a steep slope, and I was being cautious, but all of a sudden my feet just went out from me and I hit the ground with tremendous force. My head hit the ground. Mm. I was really stunned. You know, I didn't quite go unconscious, but it was pretty close. But my first thought was, this cannot be real because God would never do it to me. Divine love would never hurt me or allow me to be hurt. This cannot be real. And I regained my full consciousness and I was able to call my husband and get him down to come and help. And then the thought came, if you had been 6 inches sideways, you would hit that rock. And this could have been a much more serious situation. And I thought, no, I will not let fear in or any other thought. This cannot be real. It did not happen because God would never allow it to be true. This was my allegiance to God over everything else. Nothing else could impress me more than the fact that God loved me and knew me and would never allow this to be true. So when the symptoms of great pain through my neck and head flashed in, no, I will not have it. I will not have that this happened because it is impossible, because my God would never do it. And it left. Then the suggestion, well, if I can't get you to believe that one, can I get you to believe this one? What about concussion?
Mm.
And again, no, I won't have it. Because, see, the moment I entertained those ideas that this was happening to me, I had to accept another power other than God. I mean, this is a science. We can't have it both ways. We have to have one truth, one reality. And my reality was God, through a lifetime of quick healings and healings that have needed tenacity of all that bank of evidence that God had been graciously preparing me with. And so the symptoms just vanished. And within 24 hours, everything that was presented was dismissed. And I was totally free to the point that I can hardly even remember it happening because it didn't. And I'll say that now, it didn't happen. It might be human belief in accident, but it was not my belief. It was not my belief. I believe and I trust my God more than anything else. And that gets us back to those little girls. Their belief in God was not blind faith. It was actually scientific. There is only one truth. Pick it. And they picked it quickly. And that's what we as adults must also do. And that is what the healings fast and slow, the prayers, the studying, the understanding, that pouring through that glorious, relevant Bible, those messages that are still so relevant to us today, that science and health just shine such this brilliant light on. All that study, all that heart, that's what it leads us to, a scientific conclusion of reality, the science of being, the science of the Christ.
Beth, I feel like that love is radiating right now. It is just, I've so much enjoyed our conversation. Beth Packer is a practitioner from New South Wales, Australia. Thanks so much for joining us on Sentinel Watch.
Oh, David, it's been just such a joy being with you. Thank you.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm David Brown. The show is produced by Amanda Kamau, Carlos Machado, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Jeff Turton. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo. We'll talk again soon.
As this Sentinel Watch episode suggests, our prayers not only help us, they help the world too. To stay up to date with the news that needs your prayers, check out the Monitor Daily Podcast. In each 15-minute episode, the editors of the Christian Science Monitor take you beyond the headlines. You'll hear an evening news briefing that combines the day's stories with insights on why they matter. Listen on csmonitor.com/daily or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.
Thanks for joining us on Sentinel Watch. If you liked this episode, please consider subscribing to our show and leaving a rating. You can find new episodes weekly on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can also find our entire archive of Sentinel Watch episodes online at sentinel.christianscience.com. If you have comments or questions about this podcast, you can reach us through the Contact Us link, also found on our website.